Hi there, and thank you for tuning in to The Social Circus, where every week we dive into a variety of topics covering social media, mindset, and how to run your business. I hope that you enjoy today's episode.
Hello, my lovely listeners, and welcome to another episode of The Social Circus. Now, today's episode has been recorded a couple of weeks in advance because I am technically on holidays at the moment, but I'm dropping this episode on Wednesday, the 27th of March, 2024. Which also happens to be my 50th birthday. And so I have only recorded this a couple of weeks out, but I wanted to have it all done and dusted because I felt like it was a really significant moment in my life. And it was something that I wanted to share with you all and talk about. What do I feel like now that I'm basically 50 at the moment, 2 weeks off, but what does it feel like to be 50? And what are the things that I have noticed about myself and the world around me as I have grown older? But I wanted to preface this and say something because there is always a degree, and I don't know if it's a silly thing that we have about sharing our age and worrying about what people will think about, oh, is she that old? And I realized that at the beginning of this year, I knew that it was my 50th birthday coming up, and I had a whole lot of feelings about, do I share this with my audience? Will they think I'm too old to work in digital marketing? Will they think I'm just old and irrelevant? How will it make them feel about working with me? And I had a really big wobble over the summer holidays about this, which sounds absurd now that I think about it. And I'm incredibly lucky to marry to a wonderful man, Grant, who said to me, your people love you and no one cares how old you are, but most of them probably know that you're about that age, so don't overthink it. And I was like, oh, he's 100% right. But then there's part of me that thinks it's one thing for the people who like the people maybe in my mastermind or the people that coach with me or the people very close to me know how old I am. And that felt okay. But then to declare it really publicly. So for the month of March, I have done a promotion on my socials and on my email list, and I've called it my birthday bonanza. So I've made it very clear this is my 50th birthday and I've told the world about it. And I wanted to share that with you because it looks like I'm fine with it, but it has been hard to say, hey, this is me, I'm turning 50. I feel a little bit scared about it. I feel a little bit nervous about it, but this is what's happening and this is who I am. And it's really interesting because the longer that I've done that, the more okay I have been with it. So I think that, oh, look, let's be honest, it's all in your head. So I wanted to talk today about what I have noticed about turning 50. Because I feel like the last couple of birthdays, you're acutely aware that there's this big milestone birthday approaching. And you start to, and I know that any of you have had a milestone birthday, know this to be true. You start to look at it like, oh, I'm turning 30, or I'm turning 40, or I'm turning 50, or I'm turning 60. And there's a big number of approaches. You really start to look at what are you doing with your life? How are things going? Are you where you thought you would be? And what does that look and feel like? And so the last couple of years, I've definitely been leaning into, how are things going? What's happening with my life? And am I feeling like where I thought I would be, I guess is a really good question. And with that in mind, over the last couple of years, I have definitely done a few things differently. And I want to share some of those with you. And I also want to share some of the things I've noticed about turning 50. So as we get older, one of the things we definitely notice is money. And we start to think about our retirement and in Australia, our superannuation and what does all that look like. And this is something I have happily ignored and not paid attention to. And as a business owner, you're often really focused on just earning your money, paying your mortgage, for us paying kids school fees and, you know, feeding our family. And you don't often think about that big picture of like, am I accumulating wealth? Am I heading in the right direction? Will I have enough superannuation to retire? And last year, I took a really big, brave, scary step, and I did a course understanding money, finance, and investing. And that course, if I'm really honest, changed my life because I realized that I was really great at lots of things, but I wasn't great at managing money. And the reason that I wasn't great at managing money was simply because I hadn't educated myself on how to do it. And it's irritating for someone like myself who's incredibly well educated that I thought somehow I would be great at managing and understanding money without having any insight into it. So that course was wonderful because it helped me understand things. It allowed me to have some really great conversations with my accountant who kind of said, the door has always been open, Sarah, but you just haven't come through it. And I'm like, well, because I'm embarrassed. And now I know I just need, like, she's on my side. She's in my corner. And things are really tracking along really well. We're paying really good amounts into our superannuation. we have a plan of when we'll have our mortgage paid off and all this boring stuff that, to be honest, and particularly when you're self-employed, can just bounce along. Like life can just, how's my cash flow? When's the money coming in? And I don't step back and look at the big picture. So that was something that I really wanted to get a handle on before I turned 50, was to understand finance, money and investing, and to have a really clear picture for my husband and I as to what life was going to look like, because our children are older now and we're getting to a point where hopefully in a few years they'll be independent, and what will be next for us. And always tied in with that is, well, we'll be able to afford it, and hopefully we will, because we won't be paying private school fees. But you still have to think about that and do some planning. So that course last year was a wonderful opportunity for us to step into and look at our money and our finance and investing. So that has been a big thing for me turning 50, is kind of like asking for help and growing my knowledge and getting really well educated. And that feels really good. So if that's something that's been a struggle for you, I'd really encourage you to go out and get some education. So the course that I did was by the wonderful Mel Brown. She's an Australian-based sort of finance expert. And her course is called My Financial Adulting Plan. So if that's something you want to check out, I'll pop a link in the show notes so you can go check it out. But I have a bit of a fangirl crusher on Mel, because she's just very smart about money. And I love that, because it's really inspiring. So yeah, that's a little bit about one of the big things that I kind of took control of. The other big area that I've been really scrutinizing is my close personal relationships. So many of you know I work with my husband, Grant, and we have been together 20 years. So in February this year, we had celebrated, we met on Valentine's Day, which, can I just say, does sound romantic. It was truly not. We met in a pub in London. We met on Valentine's Day. So we've just been together 20 years. And like many marriages, we have had some amazing happy times. We've had some tough times, and we've had some like hard, boring times, especially when the kids are little and you're in the trenches with each other. And I would consider us to be an incredibly happily married couple. But again, as the children have got older, we have made it like a very definite effort to spend time together and to do things together and go on holidays, just the two of us. And I now kind of sit and reflect on my marriage and my relationship and think, wow, this is what I dreamed that I would have. And I'm sitting in this space and it feels lovely. But I want to say, we chose to do that. We actively chose to say to each other, and it sounds weird because I know we work together. We sit in the fourth bedroom of our home together in an office. And so it seems like we spend all our time together. But in truth, I spend a lot of time coaching online. So I'm talking all day to a screen and I face him and he sits doing his thing in the office as well. So we don't necessarily sit and chat all day. And so we spend seemingly a lot of time together, but we don't necessarily spend it actively hanging out with each other, chatting with each other. And I can happily say, Grant, still after 20 years, I consider to be one of the most interesting people I know. He's really intelligent. He's really well-read, and he's really across the things that interest me, like international politics. So I love talking to him, but often at the end of the day, I'm exhausted and I just sit there like a spaced out cadet in front of TV with him. And so that's not really what we wanted. So we kind of made efforts to not have the TV on and listen to music and chat and do things like that. So we have made an effort over the last couple of years to really change the focus in our relationship. And I guess turning 50 and knowing we were approaching 20 years together was kind of a spur on. But I want to also say, all around us, people are getting divorced and separated. And that is not something that I wanted in my future. I want to grow old with my beautiful man. And so taking stock and reassessing our relationship was really important to me. I have also taken the time to look at my friendships and my relationships and decide how I can commit more to those. Because again, being really busy is a really easy excuse to not see your friends, to lose contact with people. And I've really tried a lot over the last couple of years to reach out to people, to see them, to connect with them. And when I'm with them, to say, when are we going to catch up next? Even if it was 3 months away. And I've noticed what a difference that has made to me in my life. So I think as women, we need a network of really supportive women around us. I have a circle, probably quite a small circle, of very close girlfriends. I also have a wider circle of girlfriends that I would call my biz besties. And they both complement each other and make my life richer and better. And again, one of the things I've noticed as I get older is that if I don't make time for relationships and invest in them, it's going to be really difficult to maintain them. So that's definitely been a priority and a focus for me as I'm approaching my big milestone birthday. The other thing that I've been really focused on is taking back control of my health. And this is something that is a really interesting journey. And I think for many of us women is really interesting to notice. So I've been overweight most of my adult life, and a lot of it was tied up with my endometriosis and a lot of hormone treatment that I have taken, which has been so hard on my body. And it's been really tough, if I'm honest. And there are a lot of times when I'm probably discomfort eating because I feel crap. And so as I've got older, again, I'm really happily married to someone who thinks that I'm incredibly gorgeous and sexy and does not care if I was 50 kilos or 100 kilos. He loves me regardless, which is great. Also not very motivating if you're trying to lose weight. So I've really, in the last couple of years, taken really strong control of my pain management for my endometriosis. I have, for the first time in my adult life, been living pain-free for almost 2 years now. And that's been wonderful. But what it has allowed me to do is then notice, my goodness, I'm getting older and my body's not behaving in the way I would like it to behave. So I've really been inspired to try and be healthier. And a byproduct of that is I have lost a good amount of weight. I've lost nearly 20 kilos in the last 18 months, which is great. But I've been really focused on a couple of things that I've never done before when I've tried to lose weight. Because when you try to lose weight, the goal is just to be thinner so you can fit into those jeans or whatever that is. And as you get older, what my goal has been is I actually want to feel better in myself. Because you definitely notice as you get older, the signs of aging. So you definitely notice that you don't feel as vibrant as you did, or maybe you don't have the same energy to do all the activities that you want. And let's not even talk about what a hangover feels like as a nearly 50-year-old, because it's awful. So all of those things start to notice those changes in your body. And what that really made me think about was, is this how I want to keep going? Like, do I want to keep declining and feeling, I guess, like more kind of old and aging, or do I want to kind of see if there's something I can do about that now? So I haven't done anything, if I'm really honest, I haven't done anything earth shattering. I have a lot of people in my world who are gym lovers and all of those kind of things. That is just not me. I have done that in the past and been really dedicated, but I have a couple of struggles in my life. One, I genuinely don't like exercise, and two, I'm incredibly busy. And so when you're busy, it's really easy to opt out of doing any exercise. So I always have walked my dogs, but in the last probably year, I have made such a concerted effort to make sure I walk them every single day, because they love that. And it also dedicates me to doing something that I quite enjoy. I live really close to some beautiful bush and beautiful parks, and the walking is always really pleasant. I often go on my own with the doggies early in the morning, which is a beautiful time of day to be out. I find it really helpful in terms of allowing me to get focused and calm before my busy days. So if you're thinking about exercise, find something that you like, because I really love walking, and it's something that's, I think it's probably quite underrated. I did have, and I'm going to give a shout out to Susan, who is definitely one of my bestie friends. And last year we were talking about, because she's approaching a milestone birthday this year as well, and she'd said to me she had taken up Pilates and yoga. And she said, Sarah, I wish I'd started 10 years ago and you should start now. And I kind of looked at her and thought, oh, I think she's probably right, because I've definitely noticed my flexibility declining as I've gotten older. And I also have my mum, who's almost 30 years older than me, in front of me. And so I can see what my body's going to look like in 30 years. And she now struggles with like tying up her shoes. And I think it's simply because we live this sedentary lifestyle. So I took Susan's kind of gauntlet and I decided that, yes, I should do something about this. So I have been doing Pilates regularly, and my goal when I get back from my holidays is to start doing yoga, because I have a lovely yoga lady who is in my mastermind who lives in my suburb that I can go to her classes. But I want to say this about it. So when I go to Pilates, my goal is to go 3 times a week, but after I've gone once, I'm okay with that, because I also am at an age now where I don't want to berate myself for not achieving things all the time. And I think as you're younger, you're really good at being hard on yourself. And as I get older, I want to do less of that. I want to be kind and compassionate to myself. So I go to Pilates at least once a week, and that's okay. But I have definitely noticed a change in how my body feels doing the Pilates. I'm sure that I'm going to need a hip replacement like my mum when I'm in my late 70s, like she did. because my hips seem to creak a lot when I do Pilates. But I've definitely noticed that I feel like I'm getting my spring in my step back, which I'm a high energy person anyway, but I want to be high energy in my body. So that's been a really nice change that I have enjoyed in my body, feeling like I'm taking care of myself, but I'm taking care of myself in a way that honors myself and my journey and who I am, rather than the goal is to be thin or the goal is to lose weight. The goal has been to be kinder to myself, to take care of the body that I'm in so that it will serve me as I get older. And it's a really big mindset change. And I think it's only something you can do as you age, because when you're young, and I know I did this to my own body, I'm like, this body's rock and roll. It's going to take me everywhere. And I abuse it and I go out drinking and I stay up late and I eat junk food late at night and I roll out the next day and I'm fine. It's hard to imagine that you're not always going to feel like that. So I think when you're young, it's probably really hard to kind of go, well, I'm taking care of my body so that it will age gracefully. No one's thinking that in their 20s. So I guess that's something that comes to us with age. And the other thing that I've added into my lifestyle, and I've done it really sporadically, but probably the last 6 months I've been doing it really consistently, is giving myself a really nice morning routine. So anyone who knows me knows I'm an early riser. And again, that's something when I was younger, I used to really resent myself for. Like, I used to think, why can't I sleep in later like other people did? And now I know that my body has its own rhythm and that's how it wants to sleep. And it's okay if I wake up. Many days I wake up at 5. Some days, like today, I woke up at 4 because my body had just had enough sleep. To be fair, I fell asleep early last night. I was tired. And other days I was sleeping later. One of the best things about working for yourself is I don't like alarms. So I don't set an alarm and I know my body will wake itself up as it needs to. So that's been a lovely thing. But my mornings, because of my workaholic tendencies, I have a very strong drive to wake up and start working. And I know that that's not necessary. So what I implemented about 6 months ago was giving myself a morning routine that actually allowed me to start my day slowly and with some self-care. And I tried a few things, and I'm not a meditation girl. And I'm sorry if someone listening is a meditation expert. I've tried and tried it. And I know if I'm not good at it, it means I need to do more of it, but it's just not something that I've been able to push through. So I learned many years ago tapping or EFT, emotional freedom technique, and I've always loved it and enjoyed it because it's like an active meditation. And I have an app on my phone called the Tapping Solution. I just have the free version of the app because it has a paid version as well. They have some amazing tapping meditations on there, and I've been doing them every morning, and I roll through different ones for about 20 or 30 minutes. I do a little bit of journaling, and then I put on an active walking meditation when I walk my dogs. And so about the first hour of my day is spent doing things that set me up to feel like I'm grounded and focused before I head into my busy day. And I hadn't realized how much I needed that. I hadn't realized how much my body was like, I know you're high energy, Sarah, but can you just calm down for 5 minutes? I'm not good at that. Okay. So I notice when, like, I'm really good, like I might do my tapping and my meditation and my walk or every morning really consistently on a weekday, and then on the weekends your routine changes and I don't do it. And I notice about, you know, late Saturday morning, if I haven't done it, I start to feel like a little bit emotional and a little bit out of control, I guess. So it's quite noticeable when you take care of yourself and you add in those extra layers of some self-care into your routine, how much your body enjoys it. So I have been slow to the party with this, and I have been really erratic with it in the past, and now I'm really committed to it because I know that it's really good for me. I know that it reduces my overwhelm and it also quiets my very busy mind. So that's been a really interesting thing as I've approached my 50s. And I guess, you know, that probably covers a whole chunk of what's going on inside Sarah's head. As I have approached my 50th birthday. And, you know, I've shared really openly today some of the things that I've truly noticed and learned. And I think one of the biggest things that I've noticed as I've gotten older that I love is that I genuinely don't care as much as I used to. So when I was younger, I deeply cared about what people thought of me and what their impression of me was. And that really mattered to me. And I really cared about like people's impression of what I was wearing, how I looked, how I spoke, all of those kind of things. And the nicest thing about getting older is you kind of let that go because you have a confidence in yourself that, oh, I know what it is that I'm doing. I know I'm competent in my skills and I like who I am now, and I've done a lot of discovery and journey to get to this person, and I like her, and I'm okay with that. And I know she's not perfect, but she's great in her imperfections. And I have to say, of all the changes that I've noticed as I'm growing older, that has to be one of the most liberating, is that point where you get to self-love and self-acceptance. And for someone like myself, because I've been spent most of my adult life with a chronic illness, I've spent a really big chunk of my life hating on myself because of that illness. And it's actually gotten emotional. It's really nice to let that go. And it's really nice to kind of go, this is your body, Sarah. This is what you were given. It's part of your journey. You know, we're doing the best we can and you're rocking it. And I do a lot of self-talk in my head now that sounds a lot like that. Whereas in the past, I've done a lot of self-talk that sounds like the worst human being you've ever crossed paths with. And that's a, can I just say, if you have negative self-talk, there is no pathway to shut her up, okay? You have to actively choose to put a different message into your head. So I love affirmations. I have them pinned all over my desk in my office. I have them in our bathroom. Whenever I receive something that has an affirmation card in it, I choose to carry it around and read it really regularly. And it has changed my self-talk and it's changed the way I look at myself. So sure, I'm not perfect and I come with all of the flaws and complexities that make me human, but I like Sarah. And that has been, I think, one of the most wonderful gifts of aging, is that I have decided to be kinder and more compassionate to myself. And along the way, I found my best friend who I now love. And that's really cool. So thank you for listening to my really personal share today about myself, who I am underneath the online social butterfly person that you see a lot of the time. I hope that you've enjoyed today. I hope that you feel like you've got to know me a little bit better. And I will just say, I promise next week we will resume our normal schedule. We will be going back to our proper business podcast. But this month has been a real treat for me because it has allowed me to share a lot about myself that you might not know about. And I hope that you have enjoyed that. So thank you for listening to my podcast each and every week. And as always, I will catch you the same time next week on The Social Circus.
Thanks so much for tuning in to The Social Circus. As your host, Sarah Thompson, I am thrilled that you've chosen to spend your time hanging out with me. I would be so grateful if you could spare an extra moment to go and leave me a review on your favorite podcasting platform. And if you even felt more excited, you could share my podcast with your friends who you think would get great value from it. Thanks so much again for tuning in.